Per Shabbos, my mind began to wander back to events that took place in my own life 32 years ago. The reason why I began to think about it, specifically the Shabbos, because it was Parshas of Matos Maaseh, two very, very long Parshas. I was paying careful attention during the Torah reading this past week. And I began to think back to where I was, Parshas Matos Maaseh, over three decades ago. I was still a student in Yeshivat Keren B'Yavne, and at the time, it was close in the summertime, things were beginning to wind down for the year, and some of my friends, some of my Israeli friends, had already been drafted into the army, and some of the American boys were asked to come and spend Shabbos on one of the army bases to give a little bit, what we call chizuk, a little bit of inspiration to our fellow students, our fellow chavrusas, our friends who are really beginning to get ready in basic training on the front lines to defend the land of Israel and the people of Israel. I was specifically asked to be part of that group to go for a very simple technical reason. They needed a Bal Koreh. They needed somebody to read for the parasha. And Matos Maaseh is fairly long, so I kind of got drafted, so to speak, into joining them. And so be it. So I made my way down on a very, very long, long trip on a very, very hot Friday afternoon. I probably couldn't tell you where that army base was, but I remember when I saw signs of Be'er Sheva, and we still kept on going for about another hour and a half, I could tell you it was pretty warm and toasty. And there are just a few things I want to share with you from that Shabbos, things that I keep on remembering every year, Parshas Matos Maaseh, I reminisce in my own mind. And I want to share with you because I think it really encapsulates everything that we're here and what we're trying to accomplish this summer and hopefully what we're trying to accomplish in life. We came to the army base late on Friday afternoon, and the young men were very, very busy. They were still finishing up their basic training for the day. And it came to our attention that they had actually been up the entire night before Mishmar. But Mishmar didn't mean sitting and learning and eating chulent and singing songs. It meant they were working and hiking and drilling. And they were kept up the entire night, Thursday night, and then working all day Friday. And quite frankly, when Shabbos came, it was really time for just about everybody to collapse. And I will never forget what happened after the meal. When the meal was over, and most of us know after a good Shabbos meal, you're pretty tired, and no doubt these young soldiers were exhausted to the bone. All of a sudden I noticed that a whole group of them began to find their way to the Beis Medrash. And they found their way at 10, 11 o'clock at night in the depths of the desert somewhere, after being worked literally day and night, and they found themselves in the warmth and the light of the Beis Medrash. Now again, how late they actually stayed and who collapsed before they even opened up the Sefer, I can't tell you. But I can tell you that that struck me, that image of a young soldier in training finding his way back to the Beis Medrash on a late Friday night, that was an image that I never forget. And the image repeated itself, albeit a little bit of a different story, the following morning. As I had mentioned, I was called up to come and join, to be able to lay, to read for the Torah for these young men. And again, Parshas Matos Maaseh, those who remember from this Parsha, this is a fairly long Parsha. And I finished laying. I guess I was, relatively speaking, exhausted from laying Parshas Matos Maaseh. And as soon as davening was over, a few men came over to me, men, boys your age, 18, 19 years old. A few boys came up to me who had been doing Shmirah. They had been on guard duty in the morning and hadn't had a chance to daven yet. And they asked me, please, would I mind staying around with them? They were making a second minyan. Would I mind leaning over again? And I thought to myself, oh sure, Matos Maaseh, what's the big deal? I can act it out for another hour and a half. And then I said to myself, wow. I said, this is my idea of quote unquote Mesiras Nefesh. This is what I'm doing, you know, this is my great sacrifice. I'm laying Matos Maaseh a second time, whoop-dee-doo. And these are the young men who the only thing in their mind was, you know, they could have wanted to grab an extra hour of sleep, but no. They had to hear every word of Torah, even though they had just been on guard duty the entire night and the first several hours of the day. And the third image that came to me from that weekend, and I still think of year in and year out, was on the way back to Keren B'Yavne. We were driving on, I guess you could call it a highway or some shape or form of a road, on the way back to civilization. And we had to pull over and stop for a moment for something. And we got out of the car, and I looked around, And if you remember the scene as a kid of what the planetarium looks like, of when it's absolutely pitch black, and you look up to the sky, and you could see every star visible without a telescope, that's what it was. And I remember thinking to myself, we were right at the outskirts of Be'er Sheva, not a drop of artificial light, not a haze, not a pollution, not nothing, pure nature, and the stars. And all of a sudden, I started to break out in goosebumps, because it could have been on this very spot that Hashem had said to Avraham thousands of years ago, Sfor HaKochavim, go out and count the stars, Ko Yezarecha, because the Jewish people are going to be as numerous as the stars of the heavens. And as I looked up at each star, I realized each and every one of us are one of those stars. The Jewish people are the stars of the heavens. And these are the three images that come back to me year in and year out of Pashas Matzeh, Matzeh Masei, of the young men going back to learn a little bit of Chumash after the meal. For those young men who all they wanted in the middle of their grueling basic training was just to make sure they didn't miss a word of the Torah reading. And looking up at the stars in heaven and seeing the representatives of the Jewish people. If you think about some of the reasons why you're all here this summer, it doesn't make a difference whether you're on the Kollel program, TJJ program. You're probably here for a variety of reasons, but they're really all one and the same. So first and foremost, anyone who's chosen to come to the land of Israel, to come to Eretz Yisrael for the summer, obviously wants to connect to that land, wants to have some kind of a connection, some kind of a real feeling of closeness to the miracle we call the land of Israel. And no doubt, you probably want to connect to the people of Israel as well. The people of Israel, namely the people who live in the land of Israel, whether the people, your fellow members of your programs or the other programs, and that, Rabbi Benowitz mentioned before, the significance of achdus, of unity. So you're coming to become part, in a sense, to experience, in perhaps a different way than you do back home in America, the experience of being part of the Jewish people. And no doubt there's a third reason why each and every one of you are here. And that is to connect to Torah. Whether in the formal learning, whether the informal learning, through classes, through study partners, through interactions, or through experiential learning, each and every one of us this summer is involved in the study of Torah, perhaps in a way much greater than we're able to back in the States. So each and every one of us are coming for three different goals. We're connecting to the land of Israel, we're connecting to the people of Israel, connecting to the Torah of Israel. And I want to raise a question as to how to understand the relationship between these three different entities. The nation, land, and Torah. There are miraculous events that are taking place in front of our very eyes. And perhaps, because we almost become used to them, we don't fully appreciate just how miraculous they are. So I want each and every one of us just to almost literally or figuratively close your eyes for a moment and just think about the miracles that are taking place in front of you. Not all that long ago, the place where we're sitting right now was absolutely barren, was swampland, was full of desert, and there was nothing here. There was no building here. There were no svarim here. There were no trees here. There were no people here. It was a barren land for thousands and thousands of years. Nobody set foot onto this area. Yerushalayim was a tiny, 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 can't even call it a city. If you want to have an idea as to what Yerushalayim looked like in the Middle Ages, the Ramban, one of the great rabbis who found his way from Spain to the land of Israel in the 1200s, when he arrived in Yerushalayim, he had a little bit of a problem. It was right before Rosh Hashanah. And you know what the problem was? There wasn't a minyan in the entire city. They had to import people from other nearby cities. Shechem had a Jewish community at the time, imagine. They had to bring in people from Shechem to Yerushalayim just to make a minyan to the Ramban, Kedavin, and Rosh Hashanah. Close your eyes and think about the difference, what has happened in the last, I don't know, 800 years, the last 100 years. The land of Israel has miraculously come back to life. There's another miracle taking place right in front of our eyes. The Jewish people have come back to life. not all that long ago, and for this, you don't have to go back to the days of the Ramban. You can just simply ask your grandparents, some of you are privileged to have great-grandparents, they'll remember and they'll tell you what the state of the Jewish people was not all that long ago. Right after World War II, after the events of the Holocaust, many people were very skeptical. They didn't think there was going to be a continuation to Jewish people. And it was very, very close. It was touch and go. And nobody really knew, so to speak, what the future would hold for the Jewish people. And now, just a few short decades later, Am Yisrael Chai, the Jewish people is alive, the Jewish people is well, the Jewish people is thriving and growing, and we hope and pray to grow and to thrive much greater, which of course depends on each and every one of us sitting in this room. So there are miracles that are taking place. What is it that gives the land of Israel that ability to rejuvenate? What is it that gives the people of Israel the ability to rejuvenate? What is the secret to our miraculous survival? How is it that a land can come back to life? How is it that a nation can come back to life? And the answer is very simple. Because the lifeblood of the Jewish people is the Torah. The lifeblood of the Jewish people is what is taking place in this room and throughout the rooms of study, throughout the land of Israel, throughout the world. And the lifeblood and the secret of survival is what's taking place in you, each and every one of your hearts. You who are involved in the study of Torah, you've chosen all places, of all programs to come and spend the summer in TJJ, to come and spend the summer in Ensos Vaikolel, to come and find the secret of Jewish survival and survival of the land. And that is through the Torah. It is only because the Torah is eternal and the Torah has miraculously survived for thousands of years. It is only that Torah that once again gives life to the land of Israel and the Jewish people. And if you think back to those young men, those soldiers in training, who maybe couldn't articulate this message, but for sure intuitively understood it. And they understood that they were given the privilege to stand on guard to protect both the land of Israel and the people of Israel. The only thing that would ultimately give them the strength to perform those two holy tasks would be the connection to the Torah of Israel as well. And it was only through those young men who understood that what gave them the charge and gave them the ability to fulfill their mission was to go back to the Beis Medrash after a grueling week of training and to get their spiritual inspiration from the world of Torah. And it was only the next morning when, after spending a night on guard duty, protecting you and I, protecting the land of Israel and its people, that they understood that the source, the inspiration for all the good that they're doing has to come from the words of Parshios and Matos and Maaseh, the very words of Torah itself. And when you look up in the sky and you count the stars, with the message of the stars of the heavens, just as the stars are always here, the stars are here forever, so too each and every one of us, the Jewish people, are here forever. So this summer is an opportunity to every once in a while close your eyes and focus on miracles. Close your eyes and just think about the eternity of the land of Israel, the eternity of the people of Israel, and the eternity of the Torah of Israel. And if you walk away from this summer with a little bit of a better appreciation as to the eternal message of the Jewish people and the eternal promise of the land of Israel and the eternal inspiration of the Torah of Israel, then this summer will make a difference in your lives. So I hope and wish everybody to have a wonderful, wonderful couple of days here together with us. We welcome you and excited to join together our forces to be able to raise the banner for the Jewish people, for the land of Israel, for the Torah of Israel, and to take the inspiration back with you wherever you go back at the end of the summer, and remember that this is the message of eternity. This is the message of each and every one of you as a destiny. Have a wonderful, wonderful couple of days here and enjoy the rest of the summer.